Revelation chapter 11, please. If I can have some men help me, that would be nice. Thank you, sir. Gentlemen. Mike, do me a favor. Thank you. Otherwise, we might have little guys coming into the service. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, please. 11, verse 15. That's the last book of the Bible for some of you. Thank you. All right, let's stand, please. My goal tonight is to do exactly what the title talks about, an introduction to worldviews. This will not be anything deep. This will be very simple. It's 100% my stuff. I don't read a book and then regurgitate the book. I have read probably 30 books on worldviews. This is just material that I think will be helpful. So everyone look up here. In Sunday school, we're starting to talk about evangelism. And on Sunday nights, not next Sunday night, but this Sunday night, in most of them, we're going to talk about worldviews. So what's a worldview? Well, we'll describe it. And for some of you, this will be your first time ever even thinking about something like this. For others, you're already experts. So if you're really good, I'll have you teach on Sunday night. So it's just that simple. But we're just going to do something simple, nothing deep, on the subject of worldviews. I don't prefer the word worldview because I think it's too intellectually oriented. Revelation 11, verse 15. Let's read together. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's one of my favorite verses. I like to turn to that verse when I'm discouraged. Look at me. Do you know why? Because it tells me of a better day. It tells me one day this world is going to end. Christ will rule and reign, and we will be in a better condition. Now, everyone look at me. You just read a verse. You can be anywhere from a little kid to an older adult. You don't have to be a thinker, but you just assume something. The Bible assumes a piece of a worldview that's obvious. History started. Look up here. History will end. Wait till you find somebody that doesn't try to believe that. Many cultures do not believe there was a beginning and does not believe there will be an end. Things just keep. Actually, I would say among intellectuals, the most common worldview is some form of chaos. Nothing makes sense, nothing has meaning, nothing has significance. It's just, whereas in a biblical worldview, one day the Lord's going to come. That's in the what? We call that the future. What if you don't believe there is a future? So tonight we're going to just introduce, we'll see how far I go. I'm only doing 30 minutes. So if we get down to the first point, and that's as far, I'm quitting because I'm not in my best speaking voice and I don't want to have a mess tonight. So we'll start. We'll see where it goes. Let's pray together. Father, I would ask your blessings as we look at the Word of God over these next weeks and months and try to evaluate and see the big ideas of what we call a worldview. Bless our time. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Worldview is simply what it sounds. It is a view of the world. The German word is only important because, frankly, Christians never talked about worldviews a lot. My guess is if you're my age and you grew up in church, nobody ever mentioned the word. There are a lot of it's assumed. I prefer the term meta-narrative. In a meta-narrative in your notes is simply this. And by the way, meta-narratives are hated today. The meta-narrative that's hated the most is Christianity. But a meta, do you know what meta means? It's like mega. A meta-narrative in your notes is simply a big story that makes sense of all the little stories. Christianity assumes there's a big story. It also assumes that you live a little story. And the only way you can make sense of your little story is if there is a bigger story. And if there is no big story, we're in trouble. These are just kind of assumptions. So that's kind of, I prefer meta-narrative. Worldview is fine. It's simply looking at the whole world in which we exist. Now, let's go to the box first. We'll come back to the questions in a moment. Let's imagine, it's not hard to do. Everybody look at me. It's not hard to do. Can you see the box on your notes? Yes or no?
Yes.
Can you then do this? Look. We're in a what? We're in a box. Yes or no? In a box, any box contains the same three pieces. Doesn't make a difference where you write them, but just for time, write them where I recommend. At the top, just write the word matter, M-A-T-T-E-R. We live in matter, some variety. On the left side, write the word time. Now, friends, Pastor Warren, I am not stupid. The only thing that I cannot explain to you is time. I will tell you this. Now, let's go to the other side and write the word space. Space or place, either one. When you look up, you're in a box. There is an element of time. There's an element of matter, you know, all us, these things, and there's space. Now, the weird part for all of you that have never thought for 1 minute about this, you cannot define time. Actually, when we define time spatially. Look at me. Past, present. Do you understand I have just done something spatial? We have a hard time even defining what we live in. So in one sense, here's a worldview. Tonight, you walked in the door. So at the bottom of your little rectangle, you can just put enter here. You walked into the room. What did you walk into the room of? You walked into the room of space, time, and matter. Now, is this the only way of describing a worldview? Now, if you saw this movie 15 or 20 years ago, please do this. Everybody, don't talk. This is not about movies. But you don't really realize, I learned a long time ago, Christians are very naive about movies. There was a movie 15, 20 years ago, maybe a little longer now, that was 100% about meta-narrative. And the meta-narrative is we're in a dream. And you, how many of you have had dreams before? Let me ask you a weird question. How many of you have dreamed that you were in a dream? You can go back twice. Well, the question of the stupid movie is how many levels can you go back? See, most people thought, oh, that's cool. You didn't realize that comes out of philosophy. People think you're actually living in some kind of a dream. This isn't real. When I was in Bible college, Joseph, this is for you. The hyper soul winners, you know, the guys that could win 5,000 people to the Lord in a weekend, they went to the University of Chicago. Do you consider yourself smart? Well, there's some real eggheads at the University of Chicago. They went up to witness to a guy, and the guy said, I don't know what you're talking about because I'm not even sure I exist. Some of you think that's funny. Until the guy starts explaining this to you, and then all of a sudden you're not sure if you exist. Friends, there are other views. My view is simple. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a simple person that you just barely read and write, or you're an educated person, or you're a smart person or not so smart. Everybody enters in, and you enter into space, time, and matter. Now, I'm going to give you the stuff at the top, and I'll tell a story. And the story, unfortunately, my wife did it to me before she was my wife. Even though I have in my notes it was when our first or second year of marriage, it just dawned on me it was before marriage. In your notes. Introductory thoughts about the world in which you live. You will have questions. You will have questions. Secondly, this is a Pastor Warrenism, in case you haven't learned this from me over the last 28 years. You cannot not have questions. You just can't get away from them. Everyone does. Next, eventually, this is what I find most interesting. Eventually, they will become the same questions. So what we're going to talk about in the introduction and over the next few weeks, as we move forward, are questions. Look at me, everyone. What I find interesting is you have to have these questions. How do I know this? My earliest memory. An old woman dying. When my wife's mother was buried, it was pretty devastating for one of the grandsons, wasn't he? He didn't want to leave. Hey, look up here. He didn't want to leave the grave. He didn't understand the why? Because you're going to have questions. Now, most people just make up answers. It reminds me of the song, Stairway to Heaven, Dada's favorite song. And Stairway to Heaven makes a lot of sense as long as you've smoked about three joints. And then if you haven't, you're like, what? My friend, most people just make it up, but we have questions. Let's go back through this again. You will have questions. I'm going to talk about the seven big ones. You cannot not have questions. Eventually, they will be the same questions, questions that demand answers. You have to have an answer for them. Have you been to a funeral in the last 20 years? Of an unsaved person. Everybody look up here. How many of you have been to a funeral of an unsaved person in the last 20 years? Let me ask you the second question. Does everybody go to heaven? No, I didn't ask you whether you believe ever. I'm talking everybody goes to heaven. Do you understand? They don't even believe in heaven, but they believe everybody goes there. We all going to have to answer these questions. You know, look at me. I'm sorry, Mike back here, not myself, is getting older. Sooner or later, he's going to be really old. Sooner or later, you're going to catch up. Sooner or later, you're going to die. You're going to have to answer questions. What happens? I can still remember my favorite public death. He's a godly fellow, by the way. He was the announcer for the Chicago Cubs. Harry Carey, Mike Rock's favorite announcer. Now, friends, I could not tell you publicly. You do know Harry Carey before the Cubs was the announcer, Mike, of White Sox. And then for many years, the St. Louis Cardinals. I could not say publicly why he was no longer the announcer for the St. Louis Cardinals. It had something to do with a woman and something to do with a man in a car. But when Harry Carey died, he was drinking a beer in heaven with Jesus. And Harry Carey, you know who I'm talking about, do you, Just John? It's before your time. Harry Carey was drunk every single night on the radio. It got to be a joke. He was so drunk, he would... But he's in heaven with Jesus. By the way, you have to answer these questions. It isn't like you can say, well, I just don't care. No, you're going to answer them. Let's continue. Questions that demand an answer. Questions... And I know this will skip past most people, and that's okay. For those in this room that have systematic minds, this is important. Questions that are connected to this worldview, or excuse me, this world or existence. They're questions that are, you know, you walk out into the world, and you see babies born, you see people die, you see suffering, you see cancer, you see leukemia. You have all of these different things going on. So the questions connect to a worldview. Last night, can I ask you a question? Do you read the news? Howie Mandel. I have absolutely, by the way, zero anything negative towards Howie Mandel. His own words. He walks on the edge of despair all the time. He's a comedian. He says, as long as I'm doing stand-up comedy, I'm okay. He is a guy, I'm going to do it, you don't have to follow me, Christy. He is a guy right here, walking on the edge. And some of you feel bad that you don't have as much money as Howie Mandel, because you don't understand worldviews matter. By the way, I don't dislike him. As a man, I think he's okay. I don't have any big problems. Friends, do you know, this last week I have read 10 stories of people. One of them was a woman. I'll leave the names out. After I read the woman's story, she's an actress. I wanted to commit suicide. It's like all of these people are in despair. And our young kids look up and worship those people. Why? Because they're living. By the way, you walk into a room. Who built the room? You got to ask the question. And if once you determine who built the room, then you say, well, how do I live in the room? They're living in a room that God built. They're living contrary to God. And therefore, friends, I just scroll through the news feed on my phone. And I get depressed from reading all these superstars that we're worshiping because they have money while they're on the edge of suicide. Two or three or four kids. Just recently, who was the rapper? Coolio. Wasn't it Coolio died of fentanyl overdose? Was it? You guys are looking at me funny. There was a young man that died of another. It's just like they can't stay off of drugs. And you're thinking, what's wrong? They have everything, but they have nothing on the inside. Nothing. Let's continue. Questions that are all connected to all the other questions. You have to actually answer all seven questions to even get an answer. These are not disconnected questions. So look at your box. The top you have matter. On the left, you have time. On the right, you have space. At the bottom, you have enter here. And in the middle, you can write these three words because you can explain. I don't care the words you use. In the middle of the room is life, the world, or existence. They all mean the same things. Life, the world, or existence. I thought of something that happened to me. You ever have an unpleasant experience? Years ago, I thought it was my first. I knew it happened here, which means I thought it was the first 2 years of marriage, 79, 80, 80, 81. But then I realized, no, couldn't have been because we weren't married yet because of the place it happened in. Somebody in this room decided to throw a surprise birthday party for me. Now, I'm just simple. I don't really like surprise birthdays. You say, do you like surprises? Not much. Here was, by the way, do you know what I did for my birthday? I went out and threw a big, big, big party. This one and this one and those two, we went to Reflections, which is a Polish restaurant out west right on a lake. And there was a party there. I'm telling you, the four of us, it was happening. But these were the dark ages. This was probably 1978. It could have been 79, my birthday before marriage. She decided to throw a surprise birthday party for me. Do you remember?
We were married.
She's telling me we were married. I'm so old I don't remember. But I seemed like I was sleeping in the basement. Where was I at? In the bedroom? This is the problem. It's not the problem, it's the very thing I'm talking about. Look at me. All I remember is, and I just remember two things. Number one, the absolute misery, and number two, never do that again. I was probably working midnights. You know how you work midnights and you come home, if you've ever worked midnights and you're in a deep fog? I was in the fog of war. All I know is she come in, she wants me to come out, and the last thing, I don't want to wake up. I'm pretty easy to wake up. I wake up myself. No one gets me up. I mean, I just get up. But it was like I was in a fog, And all I know is I came out of the fog, and I thought we were in the apartment you used to live in, and I was in a basement or something. That shows you how bad the fog was. I come outside, and there's all these people going, "Surprise!" You know I'm still bitter about that? Because I'm like, do you realize, friend, when you're born into this world, hey, look up here, you enter the world, and you had to figure it out. Here you are. Trying to understand. Now, for all of you people who have ever watched the worst program ever put on television, well, not the worst, but close, Star Trek. By the way, and I'm specific about, look at me, the worldview of Star Trek. Because they always, by the way, most of you are watching because you think the girl's pretty or isn't that neat. All that stuff is silly. The thing that drives me crazy is they try to do things that are not based on reality. I still remember I watched a whole program on time travel. I want to say this to you. Any movie that ever has time travel in it, I turn it off and never watch it. I hate time travel because it's stupid. The second thing I hate, Star Trek used to always talk about we're in a three-dimensional world. You know, space, time, and matter. They would say, oh, these people exist in a different world, in a two-dimensional. Look me in the eyes. For all of you people that think that's deep, you cannot even imagine a two-dimensional world. To even talk about a two-dimensional world, you end up with a three-dimensional world. So you say, I watched this movie, and it was like, it was so neat, and they didn't live in this kind of a world. They lived in a world of water. Okay, so it's no longer air, it's water, but you still live in matter. And you still live in, look, space. And you still live in time. You cannot even imagine a different world. Try to imagine yourself outside the box. By the way, you can close your eyes if you want to. Just imagine this is the world, and you're going to slip outside. You know what? The moment you get outside, you're just in another box because your mind is not even capable. Everything you ever think will have space, time, matter, period. I'm going to guess that's the way God created us and the world. That'd be my guess.
I say that. Now, by the way, some of you are much more clever. Come up to me afterwards and tell me your lies.
I've watched all the stupid programs until it drives me crazy. Wow, this is two-dimensional. What does that even mean? And then they try to make the box really skinny. It doesn't make any difference if the box is fat or skinny. There's still space there. All right, enough of that.
This is kind of obvious and a given that we cannot really imagine anything else. We can imagine a different place, yes. We can imagine different times, yes. We can imagine different kinds of matter, but we still have space, time, and matter. So over the next few weeks, we're going to ask questions. Here are the questions. The first question is the most obvious. It's not necessarily the most important up front, but it's an important question. I actually think the second one will come into most people's attention before the first one. The question of origins. Where am I from? All people think about this question. If you go to the Maya world, everybody knows where the Maya world is. Yucatan Peninsula, Guatemala, Belize, parts of Honduras, parts of El Salvador. The old Maya religion. You're going to find these ugly, ugly, God-looking things, but they represented a mountain because in their thinking, people came out of the mountain into existence. The Hopi in the past believed people came up. Everybody has to answer the question of where we are from. How do we, you know, where do we come from? Of course, everybody. You do not have to write this down. Sparky, I don't know if you have read as much weird stuff as me. Every
culture on earth, if you find the name they call themselves, nearly every culture I've ever met, like, you ever heard this word? That you're going to hear it this summer. Dene. You know what that means? Navajo. They don't call themselves Navajo. That's a Spanish word. They call themselves D-I-N-E, Dene. Do you know what it means? The people. We're the people, which means you're not the people. I was reading a book of Russian history, or really Ukrainian history. Guess who the original people were? Everybody thinks they're the original source of everything. We are the people. Second question, destiny. Where am I going? Friends, you have to answer that question. Can I ask you, can I say something? Do you know most people just make this up? Nobody believes in hell. Everybody believes in heaven. What gives a person a right to believe in heaven? And by the way, even the heaven has nothing to do with the heaven of the Bible. It's just, I'm going to be, are you ready? He's in a better place. He's fishing with Jesus. Friends, I hear this. I can't hardly go to funerals because I can't stand to hear that kind of stuff. I've read about heaven. I've read about up with the Lord in the book of Revelation, the saints that are caught up. But it seems like in the center of heaven there is the Lord Jesus. I don't really see drinking a beer being part of heaven. Where am I going? We grow up. Is that true? We grow old. I'm looking back here at these handsome guys and, of course, much more lovely young lady. I didn't know two of you guys, but Big B and, unfortunately, Anderson. I can remember Anderson before he can remember me. Was he perfect? All I know is Steve and I used to go out to eat at McDonald's over on, was it Dilly's? I don't know where it was at, several places. We'd go to McDonald's because he and I would talk and he'd have his two boys. This is what I can tell you. Anderson was a trouble child. Steve, is that correct? Now, he's grown up. He's very sophisticated now, of course. Carly's going. He has moments of sophistication. She won't even give you that, Anderson. Wow. Big B, my first meeting of you was in a hospital. And your mom telling us he needs physical touch. And the only place we could physically touch you was your foot. Christy, I know you don't remember that. You kind of lived there for a while. Destiny, where are we going? In your notes. We grow up, we grow old, our parents grow older, death. My only question about this question, is this the second question we think about, or is it the first? What do you think? I think it's the first question we think about. I grew up on a farm. First time we had a calf that was born, and I'll make this very tame for all of you city slickers. We had a calf that was to be born by a heifer. And right there, 95% of you have no idea what I just said. I just spoke Polish to you. A heifer is a cow, female, first calf. The calf was too big. We had to help deliver the calf. I was a little kid. I've delivered lots of calves. And the thing died. Do you know that affects you as a kid because you see a calf that was walking and then dies? My point is, I think this tends to be the first thing that hits people. What happens afterwards? Number three. Morality. How should I then live? Our worldview, our meta-narrative, is going to impact how we live, what we really believe. Paul says this, and why stand we in, why? Get the question. Why do we stand in jeopardy every hour?
He says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? If there's no future, why in the world? He says, if there's no future, no resurrection, let us eat and drink. Why? Look at me, friend. Do you understand your worldview is going to impact how you live? So I'm going to ask you a question. Do you really believe you will stand before the Lord? If you do not, it makes no difference how you live. By the way, it doesn't change that you will stand before the Lord. But you can believe what you want. I think we're confused with people. I've had people say, I'm going to give that old man upstairs a piece of my mind when I get there. I've had all of this spoken to me. Why? Because they have no knowledge who God is. Where are we going? How should we then live? I know this doesn't happen to your children. But somewhere around age two, most children learn a word. How do you know this, daughter? You work with children in the nursery. My grandsons, of course, have not learned this word because both of them are perfect. Until you see Jesse, he will just lie on his back and flail. Evan just throws a fit. Morality comes up early. Very early. Well, the next question. Meaning. How and where do I find meaning, purpose, significance? How do I find meaning, purpose, significance? The greatest disappointment in my pastoral ministry at Lake County Baptist, please look at me, for 28 years, the number one greatest disappointment, I think, is this. I have not been able to convince most people where to find meaning at. Most people, including people that aren't here tonight, say this to people. I'm so happy that you're happy finally. You found your dream home. In Arkansas. Where do you find meaning at? See, I'm a little different than that. I realized a long time ago, moving won't make you any better of a person than you are now. Look at me, everybody. You leave here, you're the same person. And the cause of your unhappiness, your lack of significance, your lack of meaning, is not your location, it's you. But we just keep moving. Person came up recently, was in this church my first or second year. The daughter was going to be a senior in our high school next year. The dad was getting out of the Navy. The daughter begged her dad, let me graduate my last year here. They'd been in the military, moving around. He said, no, I'm moving back where I'm from. I got a question for you. How do you think that impacted her? Let me say this. No, I won't. Not enough time. Plus, my voice is leaving me, so meaning. By the way, we might call meaning, purpose, and significance, we might call this happiness. We are the most unhappy group of people in America, and we have everything. Sometimes I'm like, why are we so unhappy? Look at me, friend. Look. Number one problem of Americans who are poor. Number one problem, obesity. Too much to eat. Those are poor people. All you have to do is go any place among poverty. This is not ethnically oriented. I said any place among poverty. And everybody is extremely overweight. We have too much. How's it helping us? My goodness, 2003 or 4, Dada, went to the Philippines with our friend, Pastor Manong Nelson, the crazy man. He said, I got to go here to a place in Manila. I got to talk to some people. I said, great. We went there. He went into the house to talk to somebody. I just stayed outside. And, of course, it's Manila. It started raining. There were little kids, lots of them, little kids, like Jesse Evans' age, 2, 3, 4, 5. They had a lot of clothes on. They had their skivvies and a pair of flip-flops. Most of them had the flip-flops, not all. It's raining, and they have these plastic piece, what, those plastic pipes that come out of the house. And these kids had more fun, and I had more fun watching them. And in America, kids are bored to death. And all they had was water. Next question, and we're going to quit with this question, identity. What's identity? Who am I? Who am I? I say in your notes, and I don't know if this is punctuated correctly, because I don't know if it's a word. This has increasingly become the problem of the post-postmodern question. Very few people seem to have ever thought much about this question before. I'll say it this way, and we will conclude. If I would have asked my father, he died in 2013, if I'd have gone up to Dad and say, Dad, I have a philosophical question. Who are you? You know what his first response would be? No, his first response would be, huh? You know what his second response would be? Shut up. His third response would be, would you leave me alone? Why? We now have children, little kids, wondering, no joke, not only if they're straight, nobody's lesbian anymore, nobody's gay, everybody's transgender. But see, here's the problem. American Christians have no idea what's going on. We're asking a question that nobody ever had to ask. If I would have got my dad to be seated, and at times he would talk, this was what my dad would have said. Are you ready? This is my father. I grew up in the Great Depression. I fought in World War II. I fought in the Korean War. I was married 64 years. I worked at Laclede Steel Mill from 1949 to 1982. I had a wife. I had children. Are you listening? Today, people's heart. We now have people that aren't sure if they're human. They identify with animals. Some of them think they're like a porpoise or something. And then Christians are just fixated on their cell phones and their emotions and have no idea. Our kids are experiencing this every day. Who are you? Well, you don't find meaning in doing this. By the way, I'm going to say this a lot in the future. Look at me. You don't find meaning doing this. Look, look, look. Looking inward. There ain't nothing there, and this is every person that you look at on TikTok and all these. Why do you think so many of these little idiots that become influencers and they do this? And next year they're no longer influential and they commit suicide. And it happens every week and you can't figure it out because you're identifying with this person that there's nobody there? The people I grew up around, I don't think ever asked themselves the question, who am I? They knew who they were. I'm a man, I'm an American, I'm a patriot, I defended this country, I took care of my family. That's what makes you somebody, not how you feel about yourself. So what are you going to talk to people? By the way, for all of you that are listening, Sunday school and Sunday night are 100% connected. If you don't get these questions and some answers, you don't know what to talk to people about. Because everybody, even older people, suddenly grow up and say, you know, I've had a rough time in marriage. Maybe I shouldn't be married. Maybe I am gender fluid. And by the way, they are fluid. Fluid between the ears. On that, because of time and my voice, we're done for tonight. We'll pick up the questions in 2 weeks. Father, thank you for this time. Help us to learn some things, at least from the beginning, as we're introduced to the concept of a meta-narrative, the great story, the grand story of the Bible, which makes sense of all the little stories. Thank you for this time. In Christ's name, amen.